Any other, we have a couple minutes left. Any other comments on this?
We're just talking simply the surplus one, right? Or did we also want to talk about the formatics, or that's not part of Lonnie's thing, and that's another section of the agenda?
That's the another section of the agenda.
Okay, perfect.
The agenda. There's a half an hour allocated to it.
Patty here.
Go ahead, Patty.
I'm not sure. Apropos to the just the conversation that was being had about percentages and this and that and the other thing about the national office, is there a way to get a list, or can this committee make a motion or whatever, that we get from the national office a listing of all these mail drops and the way that the national office makes money outside the purview of the boards and the budgeting process? Last year, for example, we had all these mail drops that were not in the budget. The mail drops weren't, well, okay, we made money or whatever, you know. Oh, we made lots of money, so no need to tell us about it, you know. And I always...
Will that be the section on the formatting and reporting stuff?
Pardon? Oh, would that be where that is?
I'm asking, is that going to be dealt with in the formatting reporting section?
Dealt with in the budget. What we're going to do in mail drops is right in the budget for 06. It's right there. That's part of the budget process. Or it's right in the FY06 budget, and as we report out on it, we'll talk about the mail drops.
Well, the thing is, we don't really know. Like, I mean, things just can't start from today, and we just forgot about the rest of, you know, till from this day forward. Going back also, we don't have really, I don't believe... correct me if I'm wrong, anyone on this committee meeting, but do you all have a grip on, like, how money the national office decides and makes these mail drops and makes the money and decides what the money is spent on and everything? I mean, show of hands here, does everybody know how that works?
Patty, I don't think that's really apropos to surpluses and reserves. We could take that up if you like.
Okay, I thought that's in the form. I thought they were just talking about percentages and all that sort of stuff. So I was thinking that this, you know, I don't, you know, that it's only, we only spend so many percents at the board, but I don't understand what that's made of, or if there's extra when we go to these mail drops and the other ways that the office makes money and then actually charges it back to the stations. Where is that in this discussion? Is there a place for that? If I'm in the wrong place now, I'm sorry.
Well, in terms of surpluses, it's going to come in as income, the mail drop income, but that's true of any income category. Maybe it comes in when we review the available financials.
Yeah, okay, that's fine, wherever it goes. I would like that discussed, please.
Okay. That does take us to time on the surplus and reserve things. The next thing is the formatting and reporting. Do you guys want to, who's going to take the lead in that?
Marnie, you want to? I'm happy to. You want me to do it, Marnie? Or you want me to?
I would like Lonnie to do it. I will just say I assume people got my pieces of paper, I mean, my attachments.
Yeah, well, Marnie and I did meet. It was nice to do a face-to-face meeting because we were able to really really have a clear focus on, and she was good enough to bring along some of the templates that she had in mind that might be useful. After an initial discussion, I guess we did come to, I got a clear sense of what she was proposing, and I started to work with those ideas to see how we could fit them in. And I think what I said to her, that I will look at the October financials. That's a way to adopt some of those ideas. But I'm checking with some of the folks that who are impacted, so everyone from business managers to even treasurers, too, would be impacted in terms of presenting information in a new format, the new columns, the new column headings. So there's a period of orientation that would be required. So if I can summarize what some of the suggestions were, is that having how it would be different from what we're doing, and Marnie, you can always jump in there, is that we now have a consolidated budget with the entire network summarized with some number of line items. As you can all look at your income statements, you can see that. Marnie's format would summarize that down and make it a lot less lines. And you would have on the top a summary of salaries, a summary of administration, programming costs. It's sort of what we do, but it takes up less space. And it would also add a column instead of we have the current budget versus actuals in the current month and in the current YTD, that is, if you're in 8 months, then you would show, of course, as we do now, 8 months of operating results, which we call the YTD, year-to-date. So in the, what would be different is we have that, of course, in our current income statements, but hers would be shorter. And you would see the entire network on one page in terms of the current operating results, say, for the month of October, but also see the YTD, in this case October would be the same, but that would be on page one. Now, what would be new is adding the operating results from a year ago, for example, in August. That is, if August showed $10 for August 2006, then we would also show August 2005 so that folks could compare how well the network did in each month that you... You know, is this a good August or a bad August? It's sort of compared to how we did last year. So that would be new on the current month. What also would be new is the same would be done for the current YTD. That is to say, if you are in the 6 month of operations and you see that you have $100, how does that compare to the previous 6 months and the previous fiscal? And so you could have a comparison with a variance in dollars and a variance in percentage. That would be page one. Page two would be roughly similar format, but going to more detail, as we do, by station, but still having those same basic columns. The cash and capital would remain roughly the same, although there are some changes that Marty probably can speak to better than I can, but there are also some changes in the balance sheet, where some of the questions and items that we have wanting to discuss, how much cash is available, for example, in various areas, would be identified. That is, Marnie's going to talk about the lines that would be added. But some of the questions that have come up, the attempt would be made to add a line, maybe 3 to 5 lines in the balance sheet, which would show particular items of particular interest that we have, as we have expressed it over the course of the last year as we struggle with stuff here on the NSC. So anyway, Marnie.
Sure. If I can jump back to the forecast and the actuals, and, you know, I sent it out as 3 worksheets, just thinking it would be easier for people. And in general, I tried to, wherever it was something new, I tried to make it a bright yellow, but, you know, under highlight, but it wasn't always consistent. One of the things that I think absolutely we've been talking about that we want is headcount. And
yeah.
So I think that every month and every year to date and in the forecast, we should have columns for headcount. And I put a little note to the side about the proper way to, that I know of, to calculate headcount. And that is you basically calculate headcount on a monthly basis based on payroll. Then if you're 8 months into it, you add those 8 months worth of headcounts and you divide by 8. If you're at 12, then you add those 12 months and you divide by 12. And that's how you get, an annualized or a periodic headcount rate. That's the proper way it's done. So I've certainly listened to people talking about needing that headcount, and I'm suggesting that every business manager should be part of their job to provide that. And if they can't, then hopefully the lady Donna, I think it is, at the national office can help in that regard.
Bernie?
Yes.
Can I ask a quick question about that? If you do that add cumulative and divide method, don't you lose the ability to see if there are big changes in particular periods?
No.
So let's say you were doing it quarterly. Hello?
Yes.
If you were doing it quarterly, and then you took the year-to-date and then just divided it and added it and put it back in each month, then that would smear out any changes that happened in a particular period, whether it be monthly or quarterly. So why would you do it cumulatively and divide as opposed to just account for it when it hit at each during each period?
You're losing me. I mean, you do book it each month.
Okay.
Anyone that's got, you know, the, what do I call it, the anal retention to want to go look at, and, of course, bless his heart, the way Lonnie does his spreadsheets, he's got hidden columns that show every month. So anyone that wanted to look at what the trend lines were in the budget or the forecast or the actuals, all they got to do is open up Lonnie's hidden columns, and you would see what the monthly variations were.
Okay, then I just understood what you were saying. You were talking about accumulating 8 months and then dividing by eight, and I misunderstood.
Okay.
You also have the current month, so you have both, current month and the 8 months side by side.
Right, and then when you're getting into forecasting, you've got the full 12 months as they've been forecast versus the full 12 months of the budget versus the full 12 months of the prior year, and eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later, the first the 12 months as forecasted in an approved quarterly forecast. So if I jump a little bit, then back to the actuals, one other thing that we would be doing is as we start this new quarterly approved forecasting method, we would insert columns for the current approved forecast. Lonnie, I realized that I didn't have that in what I gave you in hard copy yesterday, but by the time I sent it out to the NFC last night, I had inserted columns to show where we would put in prior forecast stuff. You know, I may be missing a few things, but I certainly did not subscribe to, in the template, the concept of showing some prior month's, prior year's surplus in the cash and capital in the middle of it somewhere to make something balance out to some budgeted number. That's hogwash to me, and I don't support that, so that's not in here. The forecast, in the forecast, I've also included some columns that show total salaries over and above headcount. Salaries is related as a percent of listener support, salary and related as a percent of total income, salary and related as a percent of total income excluding the CPB funds. Those are just statistics to help us govern, manage the organization by looking at what were the statistics that were budgeted for, that were in the prior year, that were in the most recent approved forecast, and how are we looking now. One other thing that I did in the forecast, in the detail section, I've heard some people be very interested to know what the governance subtotal is and what the governance is as a percent of listener support. So I've just inserted a couple of rows there that would just add up local board expense and LSB election line items and give you the governance total. And then, of course, because I was just using a KPFA sample, but if we were doing it at the consolidated level, it would also include the PNB so that, just like we want to see what salaries are, we also want to be comfortable that our governance expenses are whatever they should be. And then when we get to the balance sheet, if I'm not moving too fast, I had suggested we should insert a cash in operating account line, a cash in savings account line, and a cash in restricted funds account line. For instance, I know that KPFA received in 05 $50,000 specifically to be used in the capital campaign when we redo that old restaurant space. So it was not included as income, but it is a restricted amount of money, and that needs to sit as a $50,000 cash line item that's very visible to everybody. And on the liability side, we should be able to see very easily that there's $50,000 in restricted funds that have been received, that we'd have to, it's a liability, because if we do not go into that capital campaign and use it and then reflect that as income in the year that it's used, we owe that money back. That's why it sits as a liability. And then at the bottom of the balance sheet,
Barney?
Yes, am I going too fast?
Alan, can we have reaction to the stuff about the budget and the income statement first and then do the balance statement separate?
Sure.
I'm afraid if we bounce around too much, we'll lose focus.
No problem.
Is that okay? So we'll do that in about 5-10 minutes. Can we hear some discussion on the income statement proposals?
I have a question. Monty?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Now, the suggestion is, would there be like one tab for each station and then a consolidated tab? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm not opposed to that at all,
okay.
But I know that Lonnie's method, he's mm-hmm. got them all stacked up, and I wasn't going to try to change that stack-up method.
Right.
Either way works. I know that in where I work, we use much more the tab idea.
Right.
But whatever works for Lonnie. I understand that, you know, the systems have their shortcomings, and there's a need to move to better systems, so I'm not.
Right. Well,
by the time it's printed on the paper, one doesn't know if it really came from a tab or a stack.
Right. But it just in terms of a lot of times we're following this stuff on screen, so sometimes it would be easy to jump around.
It would.
If it would be tabs. So I would suggest that if we're going to change the format, that be added to it, that we can do, like have a tab for with consolidation, you know, for the whole foundation, and then
yep.
have supporting tabs for the for each of the individual units. That you can kind of move back and forth from.
I think that's very wise if Lonnie can deal with that.
They can do that, yeah.
It is just as a thing in Excel. Isn't it harder to do a sum across across worksheets than it is to do a sum?
No, he's talking about it's one worksheet. It's one workbook, but several tabs, one tab per station. And then once you get those links, you're good to go. And, I mean, Lonnie, I've seen, he's very good about keeping his, even as you're stacking them, he's very good about making sure that his links and things are in the correct cell positions. So it really shouldn't be a problem. Right, Lonnie? I mean, Lonnie, you speak up.
that's not important. I assume you've dealt with that. But I'd like to ask a question. You know, Casey has made the point here locally that, for example, the way we do our budget when we have as a category, budget category, administrative expenses, doesn't really let you see how those expenses are allocated to different aspects of station operations.
Yeah.
And for example, there were questions this year about how much we're spending, for example, on affiliates, servicing affiliates, or how much we're spending in given different subject areas, and without the ability, ditto for salaries, you know, without the ability to do those allocations, it's very hard to know the answer to the question, how much do we spend to do thus and such?
Right.
What are the prospects for being able to start doing that kind of thing, and do other people on the call have experience with that kind of reporting?
Yeah, I'd like to piggyback on that, Dave.
I have a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
you reminded me of one of my old suggestions from way back, that the salary really shouldn't be a line by themselves. But there should be the categories programming, development, and administrative. And then the salaries and fringes get allocated across those, what they call, programming category expenses, so to speak. So that there's no salaries and fringes area, but you have the salaries that relate to administrative and the salaries that relate to the programming, the development, same with consultings and all those other categories that are in there. So.
But there are administrative expenses that go towards development and administrative expenses that go towards other things, just like there are salaries that are going to different areas.
Right. Well, they should no longer be considered administrative. They should be considered programming,
right.
Development, community events, or whatever.
Yeah. Dave, can I speak?
Please.
To me, a lot of this goes back to not reformatting necessarily the financial statements and reports, but how the budget is set up. And, you know, quite honestly, as someone who puts out an average of 3 grant proposals a week, I can't imagine how stations are putting grant proposals out with the budget formatted the way it is, only because, you know, there's no nonprofit cost allocation plan that fits in. It shows an administrative cost that is, you know, so high that unless somebody really understood in reading a proposal how funds got allocated, it looks like we've got these huge administrative expenses that don't go to direct programming or direct services. And I think that it hurts our chances of bringing money in. And, you know, also when you're trying to do, really we should have a set nonprofit cost allocation plan that shows what, you know, when additional money comes in, how that gets allocated across divisions, just inside a station. And again, I don't think that has more to do with how we format our budget and our line items and that also calls into, you know, the need to re-identify what those line items are, and then that just carries over into your financial statements. But, you know, just as an example, when we were trying to put our budget together with our GM, and we would ask questions like, well, how are we going to allocate this according to programming? We couldn't answer it because everything just kind of gets lumped into salaries or programming or development. But, you know, a GM...
Let me try to answer a couple of these questions.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead.
First of all, we're talking actually about two or three different things, but let's break them apart. Thing number one is, how do you allocate, say, salary expenses across the available categories, administrative, programming, development? First question on the table. Is it being done? Yeah, some stations are doing it. Hay is doing it. Is that right, Marnie?
That is right.
They're doing it.
I don't always have the visibility to it. They are very good about doing it.
We're already doing some of this, and that's something that the business manager will have to learn how to do. And we got, you know, can have a couple of stations teach people who don't know how to do it how to do it. Now, Kay, you've got a problem because you have, you know, that turnover in your business managers. And
yeah.
So it is, the skill is available. People can be trained, but they have to be in place. So it's not impossible to do. We are doing it. The second area is on the administrative side. Is Pacifica higher in its administrative costs, average, or below? Well, you go to charitynavigator.com, and you'll see Pacifica, how it compares to all other nonprofits of similar size and type. So you can get...
Well, Lonnie, I'm not questioning that it's not high. I'm saying that if, you know, somebody who's reading a proposal that goes directly to a financial statement isn't going to be able to see it.
No, but I'm saying that Charity Navigator does break out your salaries, your expenses.
Yeah, but you can't. It wouldn't be appropriate to expect a grant reader to do that.
That's true. But I think that the allocation process is doable, being done now.
Okay.
And a business manager can pick up those skills, and they can be taught how to do it. The next point I'd make is that as a part of the audit, the administrative expense categories where you see those administrative expenses are allocated. They are allocated expenses, and that is a part of the audit process where a particular percentage for administrative is done. Now, below the level of choosing what has been traditional allocation percentages, to be precise, you'd have to do a time study, and I've done those two before. For example, with a time study, you get a more precise answer to the question, how much of my time is spent on K versus WBAI versus other stations? What I would do as a CFO or IED, I would chart how much time each day I've devoted to each one of the stations, and then that becomes the basis for your allocation. Time study is an accurate way to do it. But, you know, it's also very administratively intense and expensive, and you can do it once or twice, and then you use that as the basis for your allocation. But that means people would have to fill out essentially a diary on how they spend their time.
We just do it on timesheets. You know, when people turn their timesheets in, then they, you know, I mean, they're told how much percentage is allocated to each program, and it's signed off on a timesheet.
Yeah, that's when you have done a grant, and you've decided in advance how much each person will spend, say, on each grant. So you have.
Well, it changes almost every week.
Yeah. So,
I want to put in that my main issue isn't necessarily grants, although that's important, but also just being able to tell how much effort, and maybe just doing it with the salaries, as Baruti has said, it is enough. How much effort do each of our various areas take? Like, for example, we've got development. We're now moving more and more to do some web stuff. We've got the production of programs, and, you know, those are the major areas. I mean, the production of programs and development, and then whatever the station infrastructure is. And it would be nice to be able to say, well, this is how much it costs. And specifically, when you have particular initiatives or programs, like, for example, at the national office, you have the affiliates thing, which is its own, you know, particular thing. At KPFA, I know the apprenticeship program is, you know, in that budget, Are there expenses for that thing that are scattered in other budget categories so that it's hard to get a clear picture of what the total expenditure on that area is? I'm just asking whether there are ways that aren't so administratively burdensome that we can do things in such a way that we can get those data clearly so we can get a picture of how effort is being allocated.
Dave, can I speak to two things?
Please.
One, I think we have to, it would definitely take us looking at our budget differently, more of a functional, what they call functional expense categories. We'd have to do that. But then the general ledger system, and Lonnie, you'd have to address this. See, if you don't have a good general ledger system, then Lonnie has to do a lot of this stuff on Excel spreadsheets. So we don't want to, you know, the thing is, I mean, I don't know, and I've you know, kind of gotten the sense that our general ledger system may need to be modified. But you need a general ledger system so that once you plug the time in, these allocations can be done within the general ledger because, you know, this Excel spreadsheet thing can get out of hand. It can be very labor-intensive. So, I mean, I think it's maybe a project for the 06-07 budget because, like I said, we got to do different budget categories. And then at the same time, we may have to do something with our general ledger. We may have to make an investment in the general ledger system in which we get a more sophisticated system that can do allocation across the various functional categories, can allow you to track expenditures by grants, things of that nature. But, you know, they have to do a lot of this stuff by hand.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So we got to have, it's got to be budget, and at the same time, it's easy to do it in the budget, but at the actual month of reporting, if you don't have a good, strong general ledger system that can do that, it's going to be a nightmare for Lonnie.
Yeah, true.
And so I think it's definitely an 06-07 budget thing.
Even realistic, put it that soon? I mean, given all, we're going to struggle, I suspect, to make just the goals we're setting up for this year. Is that something that could be tackled by 06-07?
I think the functional allocation, I think that can be done. I mean, you can get a working group that can relook at the budget. I mean, the question is, you know, we'd probably have to relook at timesheets and things of that nature so that people begin to track their time in the categories that we set up, or at least come the next fiscal year, they begin to track their time that way. But I think actually just reworking the budget, which is a starting point.
And if we start at the basics like that, I mean, I think it can be done, but I also think then that we need to look at a process for including in-kind values of things too, and an across the board through over all the stations way to track in-kind, because that just would boost our financials and look good for funders as well, and we're not tracking any of that.
Well, let me clarify my question. We're not talking about making these kind of changes so that the 06-07 budget we're going to be passing this fiscal, by the end of this fiscal, be restructured that way. We're talking about working on it in 06. So we're talking about basically having such a framework ready so that the 07-08 budgets would be in this adjusted form. Is that what...
I'm saying the first thing. I think we can do it so that when we do the, because I don't think it's a big project.
In fact, you can come in and work on a spreadsheet with me if you like, if you think it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
Come on in and have a look. Let's talk. You know what I'm saying.
I mean, I think it can be done in a small group. I mean, obviously, we need input from people at the station to get their thing there. You know,
you can't do it from the national office. But let me talk about what I think is possible, and over what time period. Okay,
Teresa, may I say that I have to leave now?
Okay, go ahead and say it.
All
right, how much time we got? I've got to
go. Bye-bye.
Well, I was just going to make the suggestion that since the financials came in so recently, that we postpone that 1 hour item to our, which would drop us to a half an hour left after this for old business and new business. And we're coming to a close on this, but I would like to hear Marnie finish up on the balance sheet after we finish this discussion. So that was going to be my proposal, going to 6:15, basically.
Could we make that a time certain? I've got something else.
Is that okay with people if we postpone the review of financials till the next meeting?
Absolutely.
This is LaVarie Messi.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay with me.
the discussion about, you know, how to allocate to the program and admin and how that should be done, and KPFA, right, is doing that now. I think that this would be an ideal project for our next PNB meeting if we can gather the finance community together like we talked about earlier, and then we can just lay it out there. People can understand. They'll ask questions, and then you can implement it immediately.
Well, I was with you to the last part, immediately.
Lonnie, you must have faith here.
Let me get to what I think is possible, since it looks like it's going to be work that I would have to tackle. So I'm assuming you're interested in what I think. Well, you know, dividing up the salaries into programming, administrative, and development.
And operations.
Is doable. What's being done at KPFA can be done at other stations relatively easily. But that is not, you know, 100% accurate. It's the best guess. If a person's working predominantly in development, then you'd assign them to development. If you knew how much time they spend on other projects, well, that would be great. But many times, you know, because people do a variety of tasks. Certainly it's true for me. So I think that is relatively easy to do. I do think that how KPFA does it is important for that skill to be transferred to other stations for purposes of uniformity, so we're all not doing it all differently. The second part of it, though, the doability, is once you get down to the timesheet level, the stations have to be trained to produce the data in the form that will be usable within the system. The third point is that, as Baruti pointed out, the current GL system we have is not suitable. It's out of date. Microsoft isn't going to be supporting it. We're actually looking at moving our accounting system to a web-based system and not have the server system, which goes down too often. Many organizations are doing it. So I think that having an accounting system that can handle what we're talking about here is distributed costs is at least a year away, maybe two. And because we need to set up in the next year and then run with it for a while to make sure it's working for us. So I think that some things are possible, and what we need to do is get a working group and come back with a good look at what's possible. Maybe we can take that up at our next meeting, and certainly we'll have more information by then. Certainly we will know in some detail what KPFA is doing and how transferable that is and how quickly.
Can I say one thing quickly?
Yeah.
Can I, is it allowed for us to have, or at least for me, because I've been doing some research recently on general ledger programs for nonprofit organizations, so I'd like to, I mean, I don't know if this is appropriate to maybe sort of be involved in that process a little bit.
Yeah, with you and I, spreadsheet all the way, Bernie.
No, I don't want to do spreadsheets. I think I can be helpful at least in terms of the GL programs that are out there.
I'm looking at Peachtree right now, the web-based version, but I've looked at several programs. Yeah, I'd love to do it. You want to do it?
Yeah.
Anyone else want to join us? We're talking now about looking into the detail of moving to this format.
Yeah, this is LaVarne. I was actually worked at Use Peachtree, so yeah, I'd like to be on the working group.
Yeah, that's okay, great. Who convenes?
I could do it.
Thank you, sir.
I'll send around to, we can talk about it later.
Okay, let's do it. That might be a way of moving our agenda and also getting something done maybe for the next meeting or so. We have some better ideas about what's possible. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are we calling this work group?
Accounting software or general ledger software?
Yeah, let's call it that, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Marnie?
Okay, unfortunately, in my forecast spreadsheet, I did have the salaries broken down into the four major categories, G&A, programming, fundraising, and operations. And I would have had it in the actuals, but I kind of forgot, and I didn't know what the numbers would have been. I could have put X's. But certainly, if you looked at my forecast, the second page in, because the first is summary, but the second page in, the concept is that we do break down the salary so that everyone can see those four major categories. In terms of some of the other things, I don't think it gets into distributed accounting. I think it gets into perhaps a few more general ledger numbers. For instance, I know one of the ones that I would like to see reflected better is the travel line. Travel now sits in admin, but a lot of that travel is programming travel. And if we had a travel line in programming, and then as programming people do their travel, it should go into the GL number for programming travel, not admin travel. And I know that those two, I think, could be handled right now, even with the funky old system, just by opening up, just by opening up a Travel GL account in programming. Then to jump balance sheet, it was, I'd started to mention, three new cash line items rather, and then it totals to the total cash. And then a line item inserted for restricted pledges that have been received, which are a liability. And then at the bottom of the balance sheet, it's not really balance sheet, but actually it was a tip that I got from Carol when I first met Carol, and she was concerned about working capital, and I took that to heart. So at the bottom of this balance sheet, and again, we could change the definition, I've got the total of the current assets less the current liabilities, and that gives us a trend line of what the working capital is, and seems like that's an important...
In a quick ratio?
Ratio means a percentage. To me, this is just current assets are X, current liabilities are Y, the net of them is a number, and that's your working capital, or your negative working capital if you are so unfortunate as to get into that situation.
All right.
And that was it.
Okay, well, the suggestion was to delay the discussion of financials and just spend it on the rest of the meeting, which would be another 25 minutes on old business and new business. The old business was the stuff that Casey had pointed out that we still hadn't dealt with, and the new business was the motions that Marnie had emailed. Would that be okay with people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Hearing without objection, then, Casey, can you discuss what the old business is?
There were a couple of motions from the KPFK LSB from all the way back in March and April that had been presented to the committee that we never dealt with. And LSB members occasionally ask what happened to them. And so
it's not the LSB's resolution to the Finance Committee. It was a request for us to introduce our members. Of the Finance Committee to introduce these.
I'm sorry?
Well, from a structural point of view, I don't know that one committee of the board can ask other committees to do something. What they did was they asked us to bring it forward to this committee. So it's really motions that we have put before the National Finance Committee that we were requested to do on behalf of the LSB.
LSB, I thought that's what I said, but right. That. So I sent them out again this morning, I think. Yeah, it was this morning. And I think that there are some pieces of them that have probably gone away over time or, you know, either need to be revised or, you know, just there are probably pieces of those that we might even be able to go back to the LSB and say those have been taken care of. But I would like to at least, you know, get these put away. Should I read them, or did everybody get them?
I think you should pick the one you think is most pressing and most relevant and start there so we can at least try and deal with
one of them.
We may not yet.
One of them has six parts, and the other one is very short. And the one with six parts, the LSB supports development by the PNB Finance Committees of policies. And so, you know, we may be able to just say that we may be able to move that all in our process that we're undertaking now, according, you know, that has to do with our finance policies, that we will consider all of the things in this motion or something like that, without making a commitment one way or the other of how they're addressed, but that we'll consider them. Do you guys need me to read them each of them, or do you have them?
I have my copy.
I have mine.
I think because there are people on the stream and just...
Oh, sorry. Right.
Consider a motion. The motion should be read.
All right. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Resolved that the KPFK LSB supports development by the PNB Finance Committee of policies mandating that, one, bill backs from the Pacifica National Office to Pacifica operating units shall include detailed descriptions of costs and supporting documentation, including but not limited to receipts, invoices, contracts, financial statements, or other items as appropriate. 2, that the National Office shall send to each LSB Finance Committee by April 15, 2005, copies of any CPB funding award letters and other station-specific grant notifications related to fiscal years 2004 through 2006 currently in its possession, and shall send copies of such notifications received in the future to each corresponding LSB Finance Committee within 2 weeks of receipt. 3, that the National Office shall assist local stations in obtaining credit cards as soon as possible, secured if necessary, so that station managers and foundation officers need not use their personal credit for foundation business. 4, that the NFC work with the National Office to restructure 2005-06 budgets for increased transparency, more workability, greater correspondence, and light items to information and other reports. 5, that the National Office should be operated in accordance to the budget approved by the PNB. And 6, the NFC develop a process to be approved by the PNB regarding the accounting, release, and use of surplus funds raised by station in excess of goals. And as I said, this was back in March, and so I think, you know, several of the things included here are being addressed now. So I'm not sure how we would go about handling this.
Could you address those items that you think aren't presently being addressed? Because we're certainly dealing with the surplus reserve stuff.
We're
dealing with the transparency stuff. So
okay, so, yes, let's number one, bill backs. It was our local finance committee understood from our general manager that a bill, when the National Office sends a bill, it will just list something like, you know, $5,000 for national programming, but that we don't get an, or she doesn't get an explanation or backup to show what those costs are or the details of those costs. I don't think that we've discussed or dealt with that.
Can I clarify? One of the issues was that those expenses, the details, get slotted into our budget by national staff, and I don't know if that's just because we didn't have a business manager, or Lonnie, maybe you could describe that, but the idea was it was sometimes hard for us locally to know where we stood with respect to local expenses because some of the national expenses were being assigned into local budget categories by national.
So I heard that story before. I've heard that story on how many times. First of all, you didn't have a business manager at a K for 8-9 months. Remember? You did
and
not.
Now we're going to go through that stuff again, so I hear, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you're not going to have one soon again.
Lonnie, the question was, what is the reason for that dynamic?
Let me finish, Dave.
Or not?
No, let me finish. The question is, it's not true. The Lynn is very good about giving details of any bill back. This bill back is a bugaboo. It's not true. She gives detailed, the only bill backs really that you have were on legal. Those are absolutely available. And she's given them to whoever was available down there to receive them because I've gotten the CC copies. The other bill backs are for board meetings. And she produces detailed spreadsheets on who goes to a board meeting, when they arrive, what their room rent is, and all the rest of it. Those are available right now. And it's just a matter of picking up the phone and asking for them. She's given them to other people. She's given them to Teresa, people that ask for them. So that Lynn is very good about giving detailed information on billbacks, and she certainly does do that. What's a problem for Kay, and will continue to be a problem, is there's no one to give it to. You have a new person, many times they don't know what's going on, and now you're going to be in that situation again.
Yeah, I have to say that, you know, when I was told this, I feel like I was led down the wrong path. And, you know, I just at this point feel like these motions are out there and I feel like I need to put them to bed, you know, because it was my responsibility. The LSB gave me this responsibility to bring these to the committee, and now I just need some sort of an explanation of, you know, where they were. But I do understand that quite a bit of what I was told is not necessarily the case.
Yeah, same thing with the CPB.
Well, wait, there was one other point, which is you addressed the legal and the national board meetings, but this came up in the context of the national programming when National basically didn't have the money. It was agreed that the stations would pay the expenses. So, for example, on the various hearings or the convention coverage.
That's interesting because, you know.
Stations could get a bill, and the question was, do we have documentation on what we, what those bills were for?
Oh, yeah, well, that's interesting. You know, when we did the national hearings, and we're talking about last year, but, that was like, is that each station, GMs would be on a call, in this case it was Dan and later Ambrose, and we would decide to do the hearing, say like the Roberts hearing. And each station would agree to pay, in this case we would do 1/6 because we would pay 1/6 out of national office. That's how we funded for those national programming initiatives. Each general manager would be on the call and agree to pay 1/6. Now, the bills that come in are very, easy. You got Larry Binsky or you got people doing the producing or Stephanie Hendricks. Their bills are easy. We pay them, and that information is available. So that's what the bill back would be about. Now, remember, your bill back is us fronting the money in advance. So a lot of this stuff is we are paying, in advance, and a lot of this stuff, so it's a cash drain. But the answer to the question is, yes, CPB funding is available, and the detail, yes, all the bill back information is available. Lynn is excellent. Talk to any business manager. You'll see she produces the information in great
detail. Yeah, I mean, basically where this is coming from, Lenny, sorry to interrupt you, was that pretty much we were told, as far as, like, CPB funding comes, we were told general managers get an email that says this is the amount you're getting, and that's the only documentation they get. And that bill backs will give you a one-line statement with an amount and that an explanation of the money was not available. So when we would ask, simple questions like, well, how much is that for or what is it, we were kind of told, well, the national office doesn't tell us that.
Yeah, it's a whole bad national office. But, no, the CPB funding is actually a website that general managers know how to go to and get, the details not only on their CPB money but the Arbitrons, too. They had training, actually, on how to look at all the detail of that information.
Well, I went to the website and I found it.
Yeah, it's there. So I guess I'm saying that I take, well, this situation speaks for itself. Let me put it that way. Credit cards, just so happens, I was dealing with a credit card issue today. Hay does have a credit card. Eva and Sue Walsh does. However, not a credit card. They have an ATM card, and we're moving them over to a credit card. ATM card is not appropriate, but a credit card is. Mm-hmm. So that issue has been resolved, and I broached that several months ago. And I think it's been done on the credit cards.
I'm a little confused. You mean there's a KPFK credit card that is being issued to that general manager?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, well, whoever approved that, I will say right now that I do not support, in effect, company credit cards in this situation. I've seen enough stuff just go on in the county of Marin where supervisors got county credit cards and were running up personal charges to Home Depot on them. I don't think Pacifica has the discipline.
The credit card has severe limits on them to be used for emergencies, and their limits on them. And also, they're trackable by us on the online. And what you have situations where Eva was using her credit card, a personal credit card, to astronomical amounts, and that wasn't appropriate either. The auditor made the recommendation that we not do that. Personal reimbursements to that amount is not appropriate. And
that was our concern, was that what we were told was that Eva was told she needed to use her personal credit card.
She did it, but she expressed that need, and she did. So when I looked at the numbers, I said, we can't have personal credit cards running into thousands and thousands of dollars. We're better off issuing the credit card, put some limits on it, and use it for only emergencies, use our finance department down there as it was meant to be. But in the absence of having a business manager, Eva's argument was, I have nowhere to go to pay for bills because I don't have a business manager. That situation, made some sense.
Well, but then I have to ask, in the interest of fairness and parity, do every GM have a company card, or is it only...
No, some GMs don't need them and don't want them.
But they know that if they wanted them, they could have them. I mean, we're playing with an even level playing field here?
No, what I'm saying is that in Kay's situation, without a business manager for months on end, then you don't have a business manager to go to write certain checks that you need to run the station. So she was using her personal credit card. And it looks like we may be in that situation again, where there's no business manager at Kay.
It seems to me, though, that being able to go and use a credit card in that situation is even more risky without a business manager.
You have a limit of a couple of $1,000.
Yeah.
Credit cards will have limits, and we have a way of monitoring, so we now can see online the use of the credit card real time.
Yeah.
Well, I would just say, if I might, that that's why I have one of my things on as a motion, is that if she was, or any general manager was, turning in expense reports to the national office to be reimbursed with the proper receipts, she wouldn't be in that problem. She's created her own problem.
So true, and that will be
so
part of the
straightforward.
The credit card. Yes, that's true. You're absolutely right, Marnie. I had long opposed credit cards at Pacifica, but the special situation at Kay, until we have a business manager in place who can write the checks that are needed, this sort of short gap solution is the only thing that's available right now. And I think that with the controls that we have, we can work with it for a couple of months until we see who is going to be the new business manager there.
Well, I will just be devil's advocate and say, just as I heard Dave earlier talking about there's disincentives to generate surpluses, I think there's disincentives to keep a business manager in place if you can go off cockeyed and do this kind of stuff. Sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Where?
Because you don't have to answer me.
Well, actually, that's a very hostile comment, I think.
Dave, let's not go there. Can we finish this list? All right. Now, we operate in accordance with the budget approved by the PNB. We went through that.
Yeah, that's taken care of.
And regarding the account release and surplus funds, number 6, looks like we are working on that.
And the restructuring the budget we talked about today as well.
If I could say, the CPB funding award letters, I don't know that those are coming. I know that I've asked for them, and if they are now at KPFA, I have been told that I cannot be privy to them. So maybe it's into what is the role of a treasurer.
Yeah.
But there is some sort of a black hole there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, as I mentioned in my suggestion, we do need to have a treasurer get a clear job description so you don't have to go through, you can have this, you don't have this, it'll be settled. You know? And I'm all for that. As you all know, I think the treasurer job description is a crucial part of the work we do. You folks need to know what you can and cannot do at that station.
Knowing that, if there's something that we really disagree with, we can just ask a director to request it, and the director can have it. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, right. I think that is workable. I just think we need to tackle it so that you folks don't feel like you as treasurers, second-rate citizens, or can't get what you need to report back to your LSBs. So I'm all for, giving you every available tool to get the job done. If you are empowered, I have less work to do and I'm happy. So I'm saying, yes, we should include getting agreeing among ourselves, in the absence of clear direction in the bylaws, agreement on what the role of the treasurer will be. Hello.
Yep.
Hi. I think that we basically covered the issue then.
Yes, thank you. And I'm sorry to take the time. I just felt like I couldn't go back to the LSB without making sure that, I did at least discuss it with everyone.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Casey, for taking us through a very sensitive situation.
Whole business. It's a wonderful feeling. Now it stops turning up on all our agendas. Okay, so the next thing is new, unless there's any other old business, the next thing is new business, and Marnie had some proposals.
Right, and my first one is that I believe that the NFC should approve and support LaVarne Williams' motion regarding no paying for pitching within Pacifica. And I can read that. I don't believe it got acted on at the PNB, right?
I don't believe so. Dave, do you
All
remember?
Right.
No, it didn't get dealt with.
All right. So this is LeVarne's motion on that. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation is one of the last bastions of free speech, and that the first purpose of the Pacifica Foundation, as stated in the bylaws, is as follows: to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. We resolve that all on-air appeals to the community and listeners for funds by individuals or groups shall be voluntary and or part of normal Pacifica job responsibilities, whether paid or unpaid staff, volunteers, or board members. The Pacifica Foundation shall practice what is written in the bylaws and shall not allow members to benefit or inure from earnings of the foundation, and that the practice of paying to pitch or exchanging cash or other assets that may include airtime, premiums, or equipment is a violation of the bylaws of the foundation. And then I will just add that on November 5th, the four-member local KPFA Finance Committee voted by unanimous consent to adopt and support this resolution.
Quick question, Marty.
Yes, sir.
Let me be clear. So this motion is now before us. Is there discussion on it?
I had a question.
Pardon me?
Just a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Marty, did it ever go before your LSD at all?
No, because this came on in November 5, and it could get to the LSB maybe by June of next year, given the backlog we have. And I personally don't believe that it has to get supported by the LSB in order to be considered by the NFC. After all, LeVarne Williams is a director of the PNB.
I just like to say that I get accused of talking too much, but whenever I don't, no one else does.
Oh.
Well, I'm just wondering now, this motion is before us as is. I mean, is the motion that that the National Finance Committee supports this motion and recommends the PNB approve it or something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
And if anyone wants to change any words, they can throw it at us, and I'm sure that LeVarne would be happy to add anything that people would like to add.
This is LeVarne, yeah. I'm still on the call.
Guys, this is actually old business, so we're still in old business, because this is something she raised back when in the marathon meeting or the meeting before that. So, but anyhow, it's before. I would just like to say that I'm not sure of this, but we have people here who are paid producers who during fund drive, they work a lot more hours. I'm thinking of one person in particular during drive time who ordinarily has a couple of days a week and for an hour. And during fund drive, he's on 2-3, sometimes more hours, 5 days a week because he just is an incredible fundraiser. So, I don't know anything about what the arrangement is for him, whether he's being paid for increased hours or what. So could you clarify for me, if you have an employee who's suddenly working now much more time, would this preclude them from getting paid for that time pitching? And does it draw a distinction between a paid employee who's already on payroll and is pitching more working more hours during a particular week, vis-a-vis a volunteer who would come in and do the same? Are we saying we don't pay them, but we can pay paid things? Or is this really about giving a sort of a lump sum payment to somebody to come in and pitch? Could you clarify?
This is LeVarne. I think that you were at the PNB meeting, so you heard, I think, Roy responded to this based on Bob Lederer's request to Roy Campanella, who's the GM at KPFA, to speak to this. And at the time, we heard an explanation that really did not speak to this issue. So, which I think what you're asking is it's not really pertinent either. That, you know, that's like micromanaging. You know, if you work 10 hours a week and you work that extra 11 hours during fund drive, are we paying you to pitch? You know, no, that's getting to be really, you know, like, what is it? Martin said anal retentive, but, you know, it clearly says that, you know, it's part of your normal job duties is to it's all of our job responsibilities as board members to help in the fund drive. So, but we're not, like, no one is paying us directly for pitching. And if it's part of your normal job responsibilities in the fund drive, you normally work more hours. You're not being paid directly to pitch. You're being paid as part of your job responsibilities to put on quality program to appeal to the listeners and for funds to support your program. So, you know, that's like, you know, really get into the minutiae of it. But, you know, it clearly says that, you know, that you do not, that's part of your normal job responsibilities, and that's what you're paid for, and you're paid more hours than fund drive because you're working more hours, but you're not paid directly to pitch. And there is the example that was in the plan where there was a amount in there, it was $1,500, and we were told quite, you know, that it was paying the farmer general manager to pitch. And the farmer general manager is an unpaid programmer at the station. And in addition to other financial arrangements, which I guess should be an executive session. So, again, I think it's very clear. I think it takes care of any questions people may have. And I think it's very, the language is very clear.